Welcome to you to our online worship video.
Wherever you are, whenever you are watching this, whoever you are, however you are feeling, you are very welcome. Trust the Lord, for God is good. God's mercies endure forever. The first hymn is Through the Night of Doubt and Sorrow. The psalmist said, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth." Let's draw near to our God as we pray. Most gracious God, Father of all mercies, we offer our thanks for the bounty of your goodness and the renewing liberty of your grace. We rejoice in our inheritance of holy things and in the freedom and peace in which we live, especially on this day. We give thanks for the remembrance that we are privileged to make of those companions on our way whose lives were given in times of war. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. And at the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
Thank you.
There are many moments that shape us, some unintentionally, some more than we know. But there are some moments that are made to shape us, that are designed to call us, that make us stop what we are doing and draw breath. So awkward are they in the texture of the world. And this is one of them, the moment of remembrance. We can walk away from it. We can hide behind reasoning that says it's too political or too emotional, or that it's founded on patriotism and victory. No, it's founded on humanity. And if nothing else speaks into the silence, let it be our humanity that still remembers the cost and the worth of the kind of community towards which we live, where violent conflict does not become an option to resolve any argument, or political desire for ambition, but a necessary, simple moment that speaks into and calls us back into our deepest humanity. There are many moments that shape us. May this day of remembrance be one of them. God of goodness and truth, we offer our broken spirits for your healing, our searching for your guiding light. God of light and love, you desire that all your people should live in your peace. Grant us the humility to seek your forgiveness and the will to practice it in all our dealings with others. Help us in days to come to seek the good of the world, to work for the increase of peace and justice, and to show tolerance and open-mindedness towards those whose character and customs differ from ours. Grant that our remembrance this day may be consecrated for practical service and the world made better for us, our children, and our children's children. Our prayers, our worship this day, all our thoughts and all our remembering, we bring to you, our God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
A reading from Psalm 16. Protect me, O God. I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. All the good things I have come from you. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. Those who rush to other gods may bring many troubles on themselves. I will not take part in their sacrifices. I will not worship their gods. You, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me! How good they are! I praise the Lord because he guides me, and in the night my conscience warns me. I'm always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near, and nothing can shake me. And so I am thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure, because you protect me from the power of death. I have served you faithfully, and you will not abandon me to the world of the dead. You will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. Amen. And in Mark's Gospel, reading from chapter 13, the first 8 verses.
As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and buildings." Jesus answered, "You see these great buildings? Not a single stone here will be left in its place. Every one of them will be thrown down." Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives across from the temple when Peter, James, John and Andrew came to him in private. "Tell us, when will this be?" they said. "And tell us what will happen to show that the time has come for all these things to take place." Jesus said to them, "Be on guard and don't let anyone deceive you. Many men claiming to speak for me will come and say, 'I am he,' and they will deceive many people. And don't be troubled when you hear the noise of battles close by and news of battles far away. Such things must happen, but they do not mean that the end has come. Countries will fight each other. Kingdoms will attack one another. There will be earthquakes everywhere, and there will be famines. These things are like the first pains of childbirth." Amen. And may God bless these words to us this day.
Remembrance Day was first observed in 1919 and was originally called Armistice Day to commemorate the Armistice Agreement, which ended the First World War on Monday, November the 11th, 1918, at 11 o'clock, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Since then, it has been a nationally recognised day, but however, if you're like me, it is also a day in which family members no longer with us are brought to mind. So as well as being a national day, it is a day for personal recollection and remembrance. Sadly, since its inception in 1919, many more conflicts have been added to that original commemoration of World War I, and so its significance as a day in which we stop and pause and think is just as relevant in 2021 as it was in 1919. It's a challenging time as we think about the conflict in World War I and II and all subsequent conflicts. We can ask ourselves how we would cope in the face of conflict. And our readings today seem to give us two different pictures. Psalm 16 is subtitled in Hebrew, "A Prayer of Confidence." And in it, David is saying that he has implicit faith that God will not let him come to harm. All God's faithful people who do not worship other gods need not fear. They will be given all they need. God is always present in their lives, and so they can feel secure even in the face of death. In the reading from Mark, Jesus is leaving the temple with his disciples when one of them says, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and buildings." And Jesus replies, "You see these great buildings? Not a single stone here will be left in its place. Every one of them will be thrown down." He goes on to say to them, "Be careful that they are not deceived by people claiming to speak truth. Not to be troubled by the sounds of battle. Countries will fight each other. There will be earthquakes and floods. They themselves will be arrested and beaten. But in spite of all this, they must remain true to their commitment to spread the good news of the gospel." On the one hand, we have a psalm which appears to tell us that life will be fine and comfortable if we stay loyal to God. And on the other hand, a prediction that life will not be fine and comfortable, but in spite of this, we must still stay true to our faith. In our readings from Job a few weeks ago, we asked the question, or the question was asked, why do bad things happen to good people? And that question was never explicitly answered, but Job did remain faithful to God and was able to cope with all the bad things which happened to him. On this Remembrance Day, we have many unanswered questions like this. We think especially of World War I and World War II at this time, but as the years have passed, there are many other conflicts which come to mind. And most recently, it was the military support which was sent into Afghanistan. And as we saw the departure of the troops and the immediate resurgence of the Taliban as they took over the government, even before the last soldier had left, we can empathise with the forces who were out there for so many years when they asked, was all we did in vain? So how do we compute our teachings from the Bible and what we see in the world? As Christians, are we expected to be smiling all the time, joyful and grateful for our lot? If we are, I would suggest that many of us will fail. So although this psalm is praising God for his support, many of the psalms deal with life when it has gone wrong. They show us that within David's relationship with God, he can also give vent to his frustration and anger at times. In times of hardship and conflict, we have to dig deep into our own resources, both physical as well as spiritual, if we are going to meet the challenges in front of us. The depth and stability of our faith is suddenly put under stresses and strains it has never been exposed to before. Will it hold out? When we need it, will it support us? Or will it crumble? Will we have confidence in the armour and armoury of our belief and trust in God? Will it be enough to equip us as we meet conflict in front of us? And when we've come through those difficult times, will our faith look the same? Will it have been strengthened, or will we have discarded it? Our sense of right and wrong builds for us as Christians when we hear the gospel stories and hear the teachings of Christ. Others would argue, quite rightly, that a sense of right and wrong can be built up through an appreciation of ethical values, and joining a religious organisation is not necessary. You can do it yourself. But we as Christians have that added dimension of faith. Faith that we are being guided to stay on the right path by a force which is outside our own ability. Through God, through the example of Jesus and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. That support, inspiration and love is unchanging. It is constant. That is what David is describing in Psalm 16. You, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. As the path in front of us gets narrower, steeper and harder to climb, our automatic reaction is to spread our arms out for balance. And as people of faith, we know our hands are being held and our arms supported as we continue on that difficult journey. In our everyday life, in peacetime, the sense of right and wrong can be tricky sometimes, but in ordinary life, it would be you, yourself, who would be making the decisions. But in times of conflict and war, you may not have that freedom of choice. How would you feel if you were ordered to do something which is morally and ethically wrong? Do you do it? Can you move your faith and judgment to one side and think, because it's not you who is making the decision, then it's okay? Or if you've absorbed the teachings of Christ into your life, do you find that too much of a challenge and refuse? Right and wrong, black and white. Life is not as simple as that, is it? And certainly in times of war and conflict, it is definitely not as simple as that. There are shades of grey which make decision-making much more complex. In our reading from Mark 13, Jesus was warning of the impending destruction of the temple and the ensuing chaos. A challenge to the way of life and faith. Battles between nations as well as personal battles. the battles will be for the disciples. They will be arrested. They will be taken to court. But then Jesus says, do not worry about what you're going to say, for the words you will say will not be yours. They will come from the Holy Spirit. These two readings, seemingly giving us different messages, now come together. The psalm reinforcing, renewing, and confirming the relationship with God, while the gospel reading foretells the potential tragedies in human life. The psalm talking about our relationship with God, which is constant, and the gospel reading telling us, foretelling tragedies, which are going to be transitory. Looking at these readings again, on the one hand, we are given reasons to have confidence in God, and on the other, a picture of what the real world may be like. We need to see that the tragedies of life, distress, disappointment, conflict, illness, are perennial facts of life. They are not a sign of divine disapproval, but tokens of being human. Faith does not act as a prophylactic against disaster. We might not be able to prevent bad things happening, but our faith should enable us to walk on with that confidence and hope, no matter what lies ahead. Amen.
Now let us bring our prayers for others and for ourselves. Loving God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, we come before you in awe, searching and seeking, doubting and hoping, trying to follow you, to understand you, to know you. As we gather, hearts and minds turned towards heaven, we pray. We pray for our country and all who call it home, especially those who have been forced to come here through violence, strife, economic hardship, or some other reason. Help us, God of unimaginable love, to be a neighbour to all, to see the humanity of our brothers and sisters before we see the labels, nationalities, skin colour or creed. May we confront the powers that intentionally or unintentionally do so much harm. We pray for our world, which continues to be ravaged by disease, while still struggling with the age-old problems of poverty, of war, of isolation, and of fear. We hold all people before you, particularly those in the holy lands where you, the Prince of Peace, walked and laughed and taught and healed and lived and died and rose again. Help them and all to see those with the power to do so to seek peace and an end to violence on all sides. We pray for your church all over the world, here, at home, as it continues to discern its place in the world, as it continues to seek to do your will in these difficult times. For all the congregations we represent, for the church everywhere, we pray. Help all who try to bring about your kingdom here on earth. Help us to work towards and to decide for that path forward based on goodness for all your people and furthering your mission and the coming of your kingdom. We pray for ourselves and for one another, all who gather in this sacred space, all who will gather in church buildings around our land this day. May we have our hearts and our minds turned towards heaven, towards our neighbour, and towards you, our loving God, our Creator, Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Hear all our prayers, said and unsaid. Amen.
Let us dedicate our offering. Father God, on this day, when we are thinking about sacrifice and service, let us bring to you whatever we can offer, our time, our talents, our money, so that it can be used in your service and help us to move a bit nearer to that time when your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let us continue with the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you.
May our Creator, the God of peace, be with us in our daily lives. May Jesus, the Son of peace, walk with us as we walk in his way. May the Comforter, the Guiding Spirit, assist us on our journey of sharing God's love and building God's kingdom here and now. And may the blessing of our Lord be with you always. Amen.
Shine upon.